So good to see you this morning. Thank you for coming together. Thank you that as followers of Jesus Christ, in a sense, we gather at the cross and spend time there. Allow the significance of that to penetrate into our soul. For a number of us, as you can see some of the confessions nailed to the cross, the journey with Jesus this week has been an excellent preparation. It's given an opportunity to just have a deeper sensitivity, I think, and a deeper preparation for today's gathering. And there are many ways that we prepare for that. But I'm glad that as a body, we've been able to prepare our hearts from Palm Sunday through to now and to come this morning to remember to take those symbols of the Lord's death and just allow the voice of the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives. In the world that Jesus was born into, remember it was Israel, but it was occupied by the Roman Empire. So the reality of life was brutal and harsh, discouraging, because it was overrun with people who had a different agenda than the people that belonged to that nation. In that world, then, in Israel, the Jerusalem temple stood brilliantly for the worship of God Most High. And for the average Israeli, God was awesome. Awesome in the sense that he was high and lifted up. He was holy. He was separate. But he was also distant. He was also mysterious. Imagine with me then in our minds, a mixed group of God seekers. I use that term intentionally. A mixed group of God seekers on their way to the Jerusalem temple. There would be mostly Jews. There would be some Gentiles, because there were Gentiles in that day that saw the values in monotheism, saw values in the worship and the way of life of the Jews. And they were seeking after God in their lives. So it was a mixed group, Jew and Gentile. But it would also be mixed with men and women as family groups journeyed, hiked, walked towards worship in Jerusalem. They would see the temple long before they got close to it. And finally, keeping that objective in their view, this mixed group of God seekers would ascend the Temple Mount. And together the group would stand rejoicing that they had come through all the perils of their journey and had arrived at their destination. That they were ready to take part in the greatest, purest, holiest worship of all religions right there in Jerusalem, right there in the temple. But then the group that could go closer to the presence of God. Remember, the presence of God in the temple was focused on a room at the far end of the whole temple development. The room called the Holy of Holies. And that's where God had promised to meet with man. That's where you could get the closest to God in anywhere in the whole wide world. But as that mixed group had arrived to the temple precincts and their focus shifted towards the objective of connection with God Most High, the group began to dwindle. First of all, non-Jews had to stay outside of the temple plaza. It was called the Court of the Gentiles. So as the remainder of the group moved closer to the Holy of Holies, next the women came to a halt. It was the Court of the Women. And that was as far as they were allowed to go. So now a smaller, more intense group is moving closer and is able to go on a little farther. And they're into the territory called the Holy Place. And here are the instruments of worship, the altar and the laver where sacrifices could be washed. And the priests carried on most of their duties in this larger area called the Holy Place. Next, those that had not been able to acquire a suitable sacrifice for whatever reason stepped aside, unless they'd been able to obtain an appropriate one they could go no farther. So those who had been able to acquire an acceptable sacrifice moved farther. And they were met by priests. This was as far as they would be able to go in that holy place. And the priests would take their sacrifice from them. Yes, they had been able to pray and lay their hands on the head of the sheep or the goat or the calf. But now worship of God was turned over to someone else. It was the priests who took the offerings, the worship of God, closer to the presence of God, took them to the altar, took them to be sacrificed in the appropriate way. But this was as close as the worshiper could get to the presence of God. Even the priest did not go the next leg of the journey into that presence of God, because the Holy of Holies was curtained off. A huge, heavy curtain made sure a priest didn't accidentally turn the wrong way and blunder into the most sacred place on earth. The curtain was called the veil of the temple. The room behind it was the place where, when they had the Ark of the Covenant, and the top of it was called the mercy seat, and it was guarded by symbols of cherubim, seraphim. It was there with blood of a sacrifice sprinkled on that mercy seat that God would meet with the offerer to forgive the sins of the nation. When you got up to the veil of the temple, no, you couldn't go there, but in your imagination, go there. Turn back and look for the rest of the group with whom you had fellowship and journeyed to the place of worship. The whole group of God seekers is way back. Even the priests, after all of their ceremonial washings, all their prayers, all their sacrifices that they had looked after, cannot go behind the veil. Only one man. And that, the high priest. Only one day of the whole year, the Day of Atonement. And then only with the blood of the most perfect animal to be found and sacrificed in the most perfect way, could push his way through the overlapping folds of the veil and meet with God on behalf of the nation and offer there the sacrifice for sins of all those who are outside, for the whole nation. The group of worshipers stood far off while someone else went to God for them. But that all changed with the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read it in Mark chapter 15, verses 37 and 38. Let me reread those two verses, short verses, but it has so much significance. It says, "With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." No human hands could have done that. Given the thickness of the curtain, given the reality that it was torn from top to bottom, no human hands could reach that high. That rent veil says three things to us today that as we ponder the death of Jesus Christ. First of all, the rent veil reveals the heart of God. The veil had always been temporary in God's plan, but mankind had to go to school through that Old Testament time, had to learn some things about the reality of God that man didn't intuitively come to understand. Mankind had to learn that God was awesome, high, and holy, and that we could not come carelessly and thoughtlessly to him and demand that he suddenly rescue us when our own sins have led us down a path of destruction. Or even when our path of life has simply been negligence of the reality of God, to suddenly blunder into God's presence simply was not the way of the cross, was not the way of worship of God. And Jesus' death became the means for God's heart for us to be revealed. Before it, he had seemed so distant, so hard to get to. But now the veil was rent. He wanted all. He wanted whosoever will. Jew, Gentile, male, female, slave, free, all to come to him, to have a pathway to him. He provided the sacrifice, his son, so we could come directly to God, each individual, that we could see that he was a God of love and compassion towards us. the light of God's truth, could shine into the most intimate connection with God. Secondly, that rent veil opens up a highway to God. Did you notice as we imagined our way through the temple precincts right up to the Holy of Holies, that the closer we got to God, the greater the barriers? Cleansings, sacrifices, altar rituals, animals to bring. There were more rules and regulations, and only a very few people in all the world knew all of those rules and regulations. And a religion of rules and regulations easily becomes secondhand. Not about the heart of God anymore. It's about the rules and regulations. And the rent veil opens the highway to God. Goes right through the middle of all the rules and regulations. Jesus' death tears down the barriers. Opens up pathways. His death invites you into a direct relationship with God. No more curtained off areas. Read the Word of God for yourself. There's the heartbeat of God, the communication of God into each and every life. Listen to His voice. Spend time in prayer. Find a place where you feel close to God and then sit there for a time. See His invitation to come in. Come to Him to receive His rest, to receive His salvation. And thirdly, the rent veil confirms hope in the face of death. See, Jesus' death was not an empty death. It opened access to God in a new way. Now there was a once-for-all sacrifice that took care of all the rules and regulations in that holy place. It just opened that up so that people didn't have to stop and look after all the rituals. Not only access to God here and now, but access to all of the promises of God, a home in heaven, a reality of reunion with those who have gone before. The rent veil has made it all available to you, my friend. You know, in the month of March, we had funerals for two elderly men of our congregation who had served the Lord for virtually their whole lives. And each of those funerals were celebrations precisely because of what the rent veil meant in Jesus' death. Both of those men were ready to be released from this life so they could pass through that torn veil to be with Jesus. And Jesus' torn body, His crucified body on the cross, becomes another symbol, another expression of that torn veil, because it again removes barriers and opens the access. It opens our opportunity into the heart of God. As we take the symbols of His death a little later in this service this morning, to take the bread that symbolizes the broken body of Jesus and therefore symbolizes the rent veil, as we take the juice, the spilled out blood that was the perfect sacrifice, that was so perfect that it eliminated the need for all the other sacrifices that took place in that temple, let's give thanks. And today, let's give thanks for the rent veil, for the reality that the way into the heart of God blazed open as Jesus breathed His last. It's a wonderful treasure, a wonderful grace that we have in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that so much of great eternal significance took place when Jesus went to the cross for us. And we thank You that that veil was torn in two, where God had been curtained off. His presence had been hard to get to. His presence had been only for one individual a year. Dear God, thank You. Thank You that the cross rips that curtain apart and we have a highway to the heart of God. In Jesus' name, amen.